This week on the BOAG World Show, we're going to look at how to build your web career from scratch. And who better to do that with than somebody just starting out? Introducing Katie Gillingham. This week's show is supported by FreeAgent and Proposify, two apps that save me money on a daily basis. Hello and welcome to BOAGworld.com, the podcast for those involved in designing, developing and running websites on a daily basis. My name is Paul BOAG and I'm really confused.
I know, this is odd, isn't it?
It's been a long time since we've actually been in the same room recording a podcast.
I can't remember how to do it. It took me about half an hour to set all the stuff up.
It's so weird. I can see you. It's disturbing me. I'm making eye contact with other human beings.
Yes, this is not how you work, is it, Paul?
No, I don't like it. But it's not even just Marcus. We're also joined by Katie. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
You look really relaxed and happy to be on the show. I love that squeaky noise. So basically we have Katie joining us today because we're talking about building your web career from scratch. And Katie, you're at that kind of annoying beginning bit, aren't you?
Yes. Finished uni and done little bits and bobs, but
not really kind of found your place yet.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd have Katie on the show to talk about. I've known Katie for a long, long time. She used to be in the youth group that I ran for years and years and years. Now is still 16 in my head. But you're old, aren't you?
Yeah, nearly 23.
Old, that is.
That makes Paul really old.
That makes me close to death, I think. Truth be told,
I'm staying out of this.
Yeah, I would do if I was you, Marcus.
My youngest son was 21 yesterday.
No.
Yes. Was he really? My only son was 21 yesterday, but he's my youngest child.
Yes.
So,
would be accurate. Oh, well, happy birthday to him.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
Did you do anything suitably 21-ish?
Not really, no. He and his girlfriend went to a spa.
Oh, like, my
that's not,
word.
That's not very 21-ish,
no,
is it?
No, we that's out, more like 40-ish.
We went out for a nice meal on Saturday. Oh. They're moving out. They're moving. He and her are moving back into our place because...
Right.
But basically, he still hasn't learned to drive, and it's costing him too much to get to his intern year that he's doing at university. Okay. And it's just like their rent was killing them, so they're moving home.
Yay!
Yippee! Woohoo!
I bet you're over the moon.
How fantastic is that? There you go.
Katie hasn't moved out yet.
Yeah, well, it was like we had it for a little while.
Yeah, you had some freedom, and then it was snatched away from you.
Yeah, that's okay.
So how are things going, Marcus? I don't feel like I've had a proper conversation with you recently. What are you busy? Are you jet-setting around the world soon, aren't you?
I'm going to America.
When are you doing that?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, which is nice. Yeah. I'm not going to America on holiday, though.
No,
I hasten to add. We always make sure we have a Sunday to kind of chill. We're going to do a Segway tour.
Oh.
You know, like you do with like proper tourists and do the Segway tour around.
That is awesome. I've seen them going around Washington, DC before, and it does look quite fun.
So that's what we're going to do on the Sunday. And
good.
Then we're going to work very hard.
Well, I'm going to Shrewsbury. Is exciting?
Well, it's a very nice part of the world. My sister used to live up there.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, very pretty.
It is. It does look lovely, actually. But yeah. I'm staying on a Holiday Inn in Shrewsbury. That's the kind of rock and roll life I lead.
Surely, a man of your vast wealth, you could have stayed in a manor house or something.
Well, what can I say? My wife spends it faster than I can earn it.
I did notice the enormous vehicle on the drive. Paul,
well, yeah.
So I couldn't park on the drive.
Yeah, the motorhome. Yeah, because you haven't seen the
not
new
one. Not the new one,
no. No. It's a monstrosity.
But, yes. I'm sure it's lovely inside.
It's not a lot bigger than the old one in terms of length. It's about half a metre longer, which isn't a lot, really.
But it's plusher. No,
it is
plusher. Must be plusher.
Oh, it's definitely
leather
plusher.
And
so
stuff
yeah, I'm
like
knackered
that.
At the moment. Too
You're
many,
knackered.
Too many trips going away. I was away all last week, and
a big
chunk of next week. Yes, doing proper work. 4 days worth of workshops.
You don't do proper work, Paul, at all. Come on,
I am. I've been doing back to back workshops. Been very tiring. It's tiring being me.
Well, I was sick last week. Proper sick boy. And now I've got a backache.
You cancelled a podcast.
I did. This one.
Yeah.
In fact.
So we've had to put it back.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
You wouldn't have wanted me last week.
Would I not?
Not in person, anyway.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It wasn't nice.
So a big
I don't know who to blame, either. It just appeared, and I've got no one I can blame.
Well, a big thanks to Meg, who's rushing through the transcription.
Thank you, Meg.
So that so we can still get it out this week, which is good, which is very good. So anyway, before we kind of move on from the pointless ramble that is the beginning of our show, I do want to just mention season 15 that's coming up.
How exciting.
Why did you say it like that? What was that for?
I don't know. Because I'm here and I'm excited, Paul. To be with you.
I think season 15 is going to be a lot better than this shit season. I mean passion. Passion, motivation, and success.
On all those crappy guests we had.
Terrible.
So it's accepting Katie, obviously.
It's down to Katie to save the entire season.
Oh, my days.
So this should be interesting, Katie. It's all down to you. But anyway, season 15, I just wanted to mention that before we get on to stuff, and we are going, which is that next season we're going to be looking at, like, dealing with people and politics and culture and all the kind of soft skills related to webby stuff.
So all your brainwashing stuff.
What do you mean my brainwashing? My
making people do stuff that they don't want to do.
I merely have the ability to encourage people to realise the truth.
Did you make that up yourself?
Out of my own head.
Wow, that's quite impressive.
There you go. So, but what we need in order
what do we need?
What we need to make that season work is we need your problems, basically. Not like, I've got this growth. Not that kind of problem.
We could save them up for one at the end, maybe.
Or none.
And we could provide advice for, I've got this growth.
That's brilliant.
Just the final show.
Perhaps combined with, I think my girlfriend is having an affair.
Yeah, oh, definitely. We'd be great at providing advice for that.
We could do a whole season, a Jerry Springer season. That'd be awesome.
There you go. Maybe not a whole season, but a whole show.
A whole show.
Just quick fire. Boom. And then, right.
Yeah.
Paul says. Marcus says.
Yeah. Paul says, dumper. Yeah. Dumper ass.
There you go.
That'd be my answer to pretty much everything, really. Walk away. So, in fact, that could probably be the answer to the real questions as well. There's this real pain in the ass person. Walk away.
Yeah, or, generally, that is good advice.
My boss says, walk away. Yeah. So yeah, we want like questions about managing projects, about dealing with people, all the kind of, well, the basic logic
is my boss
is
an arse.
Yeah. Oh, my basic logic is that if you've got a coding problem, you go to Stack Overflow and you type in your coding problem and somebody answers it for you. If you've got a design problem, then you share it on Dribbble and people give you feedback. But there's nowhere to go for those kind of softer problems. So I don't know why do they call them soft skills? I think they're hard skills. They're hard to learn.
They're much
anyway.
More difficult.
Yeah.
Coding.
Stupid.
Piece.
Anybody can code.
Anyone can do it. Anybody.
Anyone can design. I mean, really.
That's just lining things up.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. You pick a font, pick a colour, line it up.
There you go.
No problem.
I've been designing stuff for years.
Yeah. But the trouble is, so do I, it's just not very good.
Yeah.
Although I did at least train as a designer.
No, some of your stuff years ago was quite good. Damning with faint praise there, did you see that?
Let's talk about sponsors.
Okay, I'm giving the mic back to Katie.
Yeah, take the mic away from you. I think this is a bad... I think, actually, it's a good idea that the two of you have to share a mic, but I think it should only be pointing at Katie, because you're a nasty man. Right, let's talk about sponsors. See, now, this sponsor... One of the things we're going to talk about with you, Katie, is you're debating this kind of, do I get a job or do I go freelance?
Yeah.
And you're doing bits to freelance at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right. So one of the things that if you do carry on down the freelance route, I've talked to you about free agent before, haven't I?
Yes, you have actually.
Have you actually got it?
No, not yet. Oh.
I give you this advice. Do you listen
Paul
to any
really
of it?
Great advice. Everyone should follow Paul's advice.
Except you.
Except me.
That choose to just totally ignore it.
This is why I'm on the podcast as a sort of like vaguely unsuccessful graduate, though.
Because you don't listen to my advice.
Exactly.
You're not on as a vaguely unsuccessful. Doesn't matter. Anyway, free agent. Really great piece of software if you're trying to manage your own business, if you're a freelancer, or to be honest, even if you've got a company up to a certain size, it would start to creak after a while. But if you're at the running a smallish company, then Free Agent, great solution for you. So one of the things, I've been looking at lots of different things through the series that Free Agent offers, and one of the things that I like the most about it, which I haven't touched on yet, is their mobile apps. They've got mobile apps for Android and for iOS. It's just really, really useful because it lets you very quickly do a whole load of things that the kind of things you want to keep your eye on on a daily basis. So, you know, you can see which clients owe you what, which is a really useful thing to be able to know at any point in time. You also know what you owe to suppliers. You can just glance at that. You can see what expenses are owed, what the expenses balances are. And of course, most important when it comes to expenses, you can actually claim your expenses through the app and even attach receipts to your expenses. You can also create and send invoices on the go, which has been quite useful for me on a number of occasions when I'm kind of out and about traveling and working hard, Marcus, and doing workshops, etc. But it also lets you stay on top of your bank account, see what your bank statements are. It's also worth saying that the entire app itself, if you don't want to download a native app, their web app also works on mobile devices in the browser, unlike certain things I could mention. I've got another application that I use on a regular basis called GoodBit. And I like GoodBit for sending out my newsletter, and it's really good. But if you look at GoodBit in a web browser on a mobile device, it says, can't use it, go away, which really annoys me. But Free Agent you can use, which is great. You can use it in the browser. So you can either download the native app or you can use it in the browser. Obviously, if you use it in the browser, you get every piece of functionality that the app offers. If you download the native app, they've got a subset, and they're working actively on the native apps all the time, which is really cool. You can try Free Agent for 30 days for free by going to boagworld.com/freeagent. So there we go. So, Katie.
Yes.
Did you need to say it like that with such sass? Did you?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Right, so what we're going to do today is that we're going to explore a little bit about your situation and what you're doing, because I think where you're at is fairly typical of many graduates. And then we're going to kind of see if we can give you some advice to sort you out, girl.
I look forward to that bit.
You're looking forward to being sorted out?
Yeah, told off, probably.
Use Free Agent.
That would be one piece of advice I would give, but there are other things that we need to do. So we're going to see if we can give you a bit of advice to get you on the right track, to get you going, and hopefully that will help other people along the way. Now, you've got to remember that the entire audience at this point is now on your side, because it just sounds like I'm lecturing you, right?
Yes.
So you can relax, you can chill out,
okay?
Because everyone likes you and hates me. Right? Marcus is nodding enthusiastically. So that's good. So, Katie, can we start? Tell us a little bit about yourself. So, first of all, what did you study?
I studied English at Bournemouth University.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Proper degree. Yeah. So, what is it? Right. Okay. So that's what you study. Have you got any idea, eventually, long term, what it is that you would like to be doing with your life?
One day, I'd like to be a comedy writer and write for TV.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Are you actually funny?
No,
I've never noticed
not at all.
This about you.
No.
But you can fake it when you write it.
Yeah, I can fake it when I'm writing, yeah. After right. several drafts.
After. You're a slow burn comedy writer.
Yeah, absolutely. And after someone who's actually funny has checked it and edited it. Yeah.
Okay, so basically, Yeah, it's a bit like me, really, that I only sound talented when other people, first of all, edit and fix what I've done.
Yeah, exactly the same.
That's why I'm struggling since I've left Headscape, because I don't have Marcus and Chris to check my work anymore. So it's got a lot harder all of a sudden. Okay, so that's what you want to do long term. Now, comedy writing. You're quite pragmatic about this. You know, you said long term.
Yeah. Very long term.
Yeah, so it's not... How do people get into that kind of stuff? Do you know?
A lot of the people that I already know that are in it have had huge amounts of luck and been in the right place at the right time, as well as being funny.
Which kind of helps.
which does help when you want to write comedy. But I think it is such a long game. A lot of these people... they've been middle-aged before they've had a break.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people my age who've done internships and stuff, often off the back of doing script writing courses, which I didn't do.
Right.
So there's all different ways and means into it, but probably for someone like me, it's a bit of a longer term.
Okay.
Build up a portfolio and go from there and go to conferences and stuff.
So in the shorter term, what are you kind of looking for? Ideally,
marketing-y, social media-y, writing-y things.
Right, okay. So it's taking that, you know, those skills that you built up at university and in other ways that we'll touch on in a minute, and kind of applying those to a marketing environment, digital marketing environment, basically.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So that's kind of why we felt you'd be quite good, you know, to talk about, because you are talking about building a career within the web world, but over a longer period of time you might want to move beyond that. You look like you want to say something, Marcus, because you grabbed
the mic. I reckon there are a lot more opportunities. This is just a guess.
What,
in digital marketing than there are in comedy writing.
I would say so.
Yeah, I can, but this is my
but.
I have a but. What can you say to that? I thought when I was trying to be a pop star all those many decades ago that we just couldn't do it. We released a single after a single after a single, and then none of them worked, and it's impossible and bad. You know, it's completely down to luck and not a chance. And then it happened like that.
Yeah.
So, sure, get yourself a job doing marketing and writing social media for products or whatever. I think there are loads of opportunities around like that, but don't give it up. Don't give up that dream.
Also, I'm not convinced either that the two are necessarily mutually exclusive. I mean, I look at, especially with social media marketing, you know, I look at some of the most successful channels and actually they're comedy. You know, if you look at Waterstones Oxford Street, which is a very famous social media channel, it's funny. You know, if you look at something like Great British Problems, you know, well, okay, that's not a marketing channel, but it's been a hugely successful social media channel, and that is comedy writing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, actually, I think to some degree, there's the kind of, when you talk about comedy writing, I'm imagining you're imagining for TV and that kind of stuff, but there's almost this new generation of comedy writing that is social media orientated or is video podcast orientated and that kind of stuff, which you could certainly explore in the right company.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Where do I sign? Yeah. Let's go.
Okay, so that's what you're after. We have a goal. And I think that's the first point to draw out of this, is one of the things that I've always liked about you, Katie, and I think you get right, is you do have quite a clear goal of where you want to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's more than many graduates have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Marcus is going, he's got no clue what he wants to do with his life. Totally lacking in direction.
I've never known, oh, that's what I... Apart from, obviously, when I was in the band, we wanted to have a hit, obviously.
Yeah.
But after that...
Yeah, and look how disastrous your life has been.
It's all right. It's turned out okay.
But, okay, you're just a jammy bugger that's lived off of luck. There's nothing... You're not going to make things worse by having a plan, are you?
No, I'm saying it's a good thing.
Oh, right.
I'm saying I wish I did have a plan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were saying you don't need a plan.
No. I have admiration for that.
Right.
Because I kind of... If I try and plan, it's like I just make it up. I think that was always the problem with Headscape. We've talked about this on other episodes. So I won't go on into it too long. But we used to say, we must have a 5-year plan. Or we must have a 10-year plan. And we just make things up.
Yeah.
Or we better do that then by then. When actually we were just happy just chugging along, which is where we're back to, which is what I'm why I'm currently happy with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have gone off on a tangent.
Yeah, but it's not. I don't think it's a bad tangent, and I think it does. I don't think there's anything. There's nothing wrong with chugging along with business as usual if what you've got now you're happy with, then fine. Then your plan is to maintain what you've got. But
in
something like Katie's position, right? Katie, what are you actually doing today, work-wise?
Work-wise, I've done a website for a local playgroup, and I'm doing social media marketing for a local weight loss clinic, and
And you're doing, do you have like a part-time job or anything like that?
No.
Right. So my point is, I felt like I picked on you there.
Be picked on.
No, I didn't mean, but what I meant to say by that is you know that you're not where you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's the difference,
I think. I have talked about this with my parents, actually, the part-time job thing.
Yeah.
For some people, that might be a really good option. But for me and where we live in Blandford, with not an awful lot going on the job front, if I did get a job in a supermarket, if I then got an interview with somewhere else that was my dream job and I left the supermarket said you can't have that day off, so I just pulled a sickie and did it anyway and then didn't get my dream job, got found out and got fired from the supermarket. It would all, that kind of situation has actually happened a lot, believe it or not. And so I think, although, yes, I would be getting some money coming in short term, that it would sort of hamper the other opportunities that I have had along the way.
Yeah. And that's, I think, there's a couple of things I want to pick up on there, which I think are worth emphasising. Is one, you don't live in a big city, right?
No.
It's important to say where we are right now. You know, we're in the middle of a small market town in the middle of England. There are not good career prospects here. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, that is definitely fair to say.
So that's one challenge that you face. And I think a lot of people listening to this will be, not everyone lives in London, not everyone lives in a major city. So that's good. The other thing that has just gone completely out of my head, but it was a really good point. Insert a really engaging and important point at this point. That's it. That's all I've got to say.
I just want to go back on the part-time job thing.
Thank you for rescuing me, Marcus.
Surely, at any time. surely there's got to be something that's sort of, you know, just like a couple of days a week or something that you could just sort of fill in your time a bit with that isn't too kind of bullying, like maybe a local supermarket would be. I know I used to work for one many, many years ago. And you have like, these are your hours, but we want you to work all weekend.
Yeah.
They always used to randomly do that. Well, I don't want to, but everyone else is, so are you.
What about,
some kind of local newspaper or a job that doesn't pay, you know, a volunteer type
or
thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, what about charity? There must be charities that are looking for social media help.
Possibly.
Have you not looked at that?
No, not that's local.
Good one to do, actually. To look for a local charity. I always think charities are great because, because they're not paying you, they're flexible, right, about what you do and when. B, it makes you look kind of, what's the word, philanthropic, which is great, and that represents well on you. And B, it gets a, no, A, B, yeah, C, you get some experience under your belt. But I think the important thing to say is, this so far we're painting you like you've got a little bit that you haven't done a lot, and that's because we haven't got to what you have done. So tell us a little bit, because there's quite a few things that you've had on the boil that you've, it's not like you haven't been doing a lot of networking. So tell us a little bit about some of that stuff.
So from uni, I worked as a freelance features writer for the TV Times. Mm-hmm. And I still do that on a ad hoc basis if someone's on holiday or just doesn't want to write something.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. But I think the company was that owns all the magazines was taken over by a bigger company and they laid a lot of people off. So right. where there might have been a job opportunity there once, that has now been shut down.
Right.
So that's still like a very part-timey, on the odd occasion thing.
Yeah.
But from that, I have met PR people and people who do other cool jobs that you can't even necessarily name because they don't necessarily have like a, that's going to sound awful, their jobs don't have a proper name.
Oh no, a lot of jobs don't have a proper name. You get used to that, Katie. Yeah.
But their jobs are doing cool marketing stuff for TV programs.
Right.
Danger Mouse in particular was my favourite recent one. The relaunch of Danger Mouse.
You can't get much cooler than the relaunch of Danger Mouse, in my opinion.
No, you can't. That was a career highlight, so that's it. Yeah. Just stop now.
It's all downhill from now.
That's it. Nothing can beat that. So as well as that, I work for News Biscuit, which is a free submissions comedy website run by John O'Farrell.
And who's John O'Farrell, for those that don't know?
He's done all sorts of bits of it. He's going to, I hope he never listens to this. He co-wrote Chicken Run.
Oh, right.
And he's been on Have I Got News For You quite mm-hmm. a few times. And okay. he's written a very good book called There's Only Two David Beckhams recently.
Right.
So he's a best-selling author. And I think he's written a funny musical on Broadway.
But you've no idea.
But I can't remember what it's called.
So I always think the mentally, the way, I mean, I don't use News Biscuit, but it feels like an open source British version of The Onion.
Yes, that is it.
Yeah.
I think we were there first, but I don't
damn
think.
Damn them.
Yes.
Those upstarts.
How dare they get
be
such
more successful.
Success. Yes. But yeah, I've been doing that for a few years and I do admin-y stuff. I am nice admin lady on the
Although a lot of people don't know that, do they? That's secret.
No, that is secret.
Shh.
Don't tell anyone. But I also write, I'm an editor now for the site as well, which is separate to Nice Admin Lady.
Right.
Because it's done on an editing rota. And so there's a team of 6 or 7 editors and each week we have a week and we choose the submissions that are best to go on the front page,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially a bit like an online newspaper.
Mm.
So that's cool. So that's a bit more creative editing things.
So you've built up, you've got some good experience behind you.
Yeah.
You've built up a good network of people. You're doing all the right things. So why don't you think it's worked for you yet?
Basically, I don't know whether I want to be a freelance writery person or whether I want to be a writery person working for somebody.
Yeah.
And that clash between the two has led to me doing both, but not very well.
Right.
Or not very well, because I've had some good clients and some really good job interviews and stuff, but I haven't thrown myself into hunting for a job. And likewise, I haven't thrown myself in looking for clients.
Right.
Or putting myself out there.
Yeah. It is a really difficult one, this. We did touch on it briefly, didn't we, when we talked to John Hicks about the pros and cons of... Because John Hicks is a designer that's kind of ricocheted backwards and forwards between being a freelancer and working for other people. And, you know, there are kind of pros and cons to both approaches. I have to say, I think in an ideal, I don't know what you think, Marcus, but in an ideal world, there is a big advantage when you're starting out to work for someone else.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Unless you feel like you've had enough experience already with the work that you've done, you were just talking about. But I think that's probably not the case. And working anywhere that allows you to write in any way, shape or form, whether it's, I don't know, a magazine, a website, whatever, I think is, and someone just pays you, you know, you come in the morning, right, you've got to do that, just get on and do it. I think will help you hone the skills that really matter at the moment, rather than having to worry about getting new clients and free agent and the like.
I totally agree. And I think there is a huge advantage to working for someone else, even if they're rubbish. Because, I mean, you know, both me and Marcus worked for a company called Town Pages before we set up Headscape. And I think they were terribly managed from beginning to end. But we actually learned a lot about how not to manage a company. And that actually taught us a lot about how to manage a company, if that makes any kind of sense. So there is a huge advantage. The only thing I would say is that I wonder whether that is... I have moments of wondering whether that's just because we're from that generation that has this attitude, go and get a proper job. do you know what I mean?
I wasn't meaning it like that. I was meaning it to focus on, it allows you to focus on just the bit that you kind of need to.
The core skill that you're trying to build up. Yeah,
and you don't have to worry about all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Unless you've got people beating down your door. You know, do you know what I mean? If you've got an endless stream of clients, then you haven't got a problem. I'm exaggerating to make the point, but you know, if you went freelance and actually you could make quite a nice living quite easily, then everything I've just said, not everything, some of the aspects of what I just said don't apply. But the other aspect of working with other people in a company is that you will be kind of absorbing other, you know, just learning from other people. Whereas if you're on your own, sat in your own room, working on one project and then on another project, you're not, you're not interrelating with others. Being able to do both.
It's a funny thing because, I mean, there's a part of me that goes, in an abstract sense, I totally agree, right? That go and get yourself a job somewhere, work somewhere for someone else. But when I kind of get specific to you, and because I know you, I know that you're more than capable of doing the whole shebang. Actually, you're a very good networker. You've built up good relationships. People naturally like you. You're more than capable of doing the kind of financy side and all of that kind of stuff. So that's where I'm a little bit more unsure, because I know there's a part of you would quite like to stay around here. But there's another part of you, but if you go and get a job somewhere else, the chances of it being in Dorset are pretty slim.
Yeah, they are. There have been a couple of jobs that I've applied for. They've been copywriting jobs, which I've got quite far. I've gone past the interview process and they've really liked me. Both of these jobs said that they wanted a graduate.
Right.
And I now know that both of the people who filled the position are definitely not graduates. So they wanted someone with enthusiasm and everything that they thought a graduate would be.
Yeah.
But they didn't actually want a graduate. So that's kind of where I fell down, was because I didn't have enough experience.
Right.
So there have been a couple of jobs around here. But they come up very rarely. There's lots of people going for them, and clearly, people with experience probably will win out unless someone genuinely is looking for a graduate and not just thinks they are.
Yeah.
So that's one of the problems that I've faced in job hunting. And I think getting that knockback as well, the same losing out to someone else with experience multiple times, it then sort of sends you, should I be doing freelance? Because that might give me the best chance of staying here. But I'm not earning very much money and I'm still living at home and am I a bit of a drain on mum and dad?
Yeah.
So it's that constant pros and cons, to and fro, need to pick one and go down that side fully, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have to say, I think, because I know I was quite enthusiastic about you going freelance to begin with, wasn't I? Now we sit down and talk about it properly, I think going after a job is a good idea. I think it's a good idea for the reasons Marcus has laid out. But also I think it's a good idea from the point of view, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing to get out of the area and to go somewhere else and, you know, experience another part of the country or world or wherever, you know. Yeah. And I think that's a part of it. I've got to say, that first job, I don't know about you, Marcus, but Although yours was a fairly unusual grip. Well, that first job's a bit of a miserable time to begin with. You know, when you move, I remember my first proper job was in Basingstoke, right? Which in itself is enough to kind of, you know, drive home the fact. And I was living in a bedsit and working in Basingstoke, and yeah, not the most wonderful of time. But
stop dissing Basingstoke, it's my nearest town.
I'm sure it's lovely, but you don't live in it.
No, I don't live in Basingstoke. No, it's got all shiny since you were there.
Yeah, it has. Yeah,
it has an Apple store, Paul.
Oh,
with
my
a genius
word.
Bar.
I could do with one of those at the moment. My son's phone's broken, and I'm going to have to get them.
As is your son. I feel sorry for him. Sounds awful.
Well, yes, he fractured his toe, yeah.
Ow.
Actually, truth be told, that isn't the entire story.
Did you do it?
He didn't fracture his toe, but it's the easiest way of describing it, because the truth is, he bent his toe. He actually bent the bone, right? Yeah. I didn't even know that was possible. But okay. Apparently when you're young enough...
Yeah. Still rubbery and...
Still rubbery and you can bend it. So it's not nice. It was like going off at this weird angle. I thought Kath was going to pass out. Okay. So, right, we're going to make some decisions today. Okay. Right.
I don't think it's up to you, Paul.
No, I'm making decisions. So our vote then, is she should get a proper job. Right, rather than freelance,
and I think
full time job.
Full time job. But I think what Paul was saying is, don't expect to enjoy it.
Yeah,
you might do. Who knows?
Freelancing is a more enjoyable option, I think.
But you might be lucky and work for a lovely company like Headscope. Who knows?
Are you offering a job? There we go. Sorted.
I don't have a position, Katie. But I'm sure there are other lovely companies like Headscope who would have that. But chances are it'll be something that isn't that great, but it's just all of that is a part of the learning curve.
Yeah,
I reckon.
And you don't need to do it forever. You see, there was this perception if you took a job at one point, you know, you'd have to stay there for a decent length of time because otherwise it looked bad on your CV. I think those days are gone, really. I think people move around jobs much more often, you know, and even if you've got like a contract position somewhere, that's quite good, you know, just for 6 months or something, just to get, you know, a bit of experience behind you and, you know, to spend some time with an organisation. I think things like that work very well. Going back to the kind of what we were talking about earlier about working for a charity or for for free as an intern, is that something you've explored ever?
I've done a couple of bits for we've got a local grow it yourself group that I'm part of.
Okay.
We've got an allotment,
right.
Being full countryside stereotype.
Yeah.
For this Grow It Yourself group, I created them a website and do their bits of their social media, although that is kind of sporadic based on what other work that I've got on. So I've done that, and I've done other work. So like the play group, I did that at a reduced rate because I did tell them I didn't write the copy for that, actually,
right.
Weirdly. So that wouldn't go on my portfolio because someone else is doing it. But I said I'd create it for them, and because they're a local play group and it's giving me the experience, I did that at a reduced rate. So I have sort of done bits in that sense, but I haven't thought about a charity or...
Yeah. I mean, you might want to have a look at, do a search around for a more... Because that's quite a kind of low level of, you know, helping out. Kind of thing. What I'm thinking about is looking at something a little bit more, you know, doing a search on, I don't know, digital marketing agencies intern, you know, and seeing whether there are intern opportunities out there. Just searching on intern rather than graduate or rather than job can turn out some quite interesting, you know, opportunities in terms of the type of stuff that's out there, you know, or even, you know, digital marketing charity intern. And look for something that's a bit larger. Now, because some of these intern positions will actually pay a small salary, which would probably cover your living expenses of living, you know, being away, but, you know, not give you a lot in your pocket. But something like that for a few months might be something that's worth considering.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of gets you into a larger organisation. So that's definitely something that I would consider looking at if I was in your position, I think. Now, one of the things that I think you did very well when you were a student was kind of building your network, you know,
yes.
that you spent quite a lot of time, especially because of the TV Times and because of your News Biscuit stuff. Are you still actively pursuing that kind of thing? Or have you slacked off?
Probably slacked off a bit.
Yeah.
Because I haven't done much else.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So I haven't got anything further to...
To say.
To say, yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's a really important thing to keep doing in some way. Because that kind of networking and just kind of going, you know, going to some meetups in London or that kind of stuff, it's really worth doing. It's amazing who you meet.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, I went to a meetup last week when I was up in London. And it was like, there were some amazing people there and I was kind of gobsmacked, really, you know, and I just got chatting to people and it was a really enjoyable evening. And I actually think those are some of the most valuable things you can do. And I think, you know, in that kind of environment as well, which is quite nice, is that you can almost play off of being a student. Everybody's got a bit of alcohol in them, right? So they're all quick to, you know, dole out advice and be chatty, and it's a really good environment. So I would look potentially at seeing if there's some kind of digital marketing meetups you can go along to and just yeah. attend. I mean, the story I always tell is of Anna Debenham, who at the age of 16 came to the 100th BOAG World meetup that we did, right? We had to sneak her into the pub because she was only 16. But, you know, she had the guts to do that. And actually, she now has done incredibly well within the community and, you know, is hugely successful and went on and did an internship at Clear Left, who's an agent, her digital agency. And we had Andy on, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago? Or am I imagining that? A few weeks ago. And she kind of built her career off of just through that networking, just through meeting people. And she never pushed it, did she? She wasn't kind of in any way pushy, but she was just enthusiastic and, you know, wanted to know what was going on in the industry and, you know, wanted to learn and people warmed to her as a result. So I think any opportunity to do that kind of stuff is really worth doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, add that to your task list.
Adding, although I'm not very digital, am I? I'm sat with my notebook and my pen.
Well, you know,
scroll down.
No, don't criticize that at all. So, I mean, I guess that's another reason why you probably need to, like you say, focus down on, well, am I going to go freelance or am I going to look for a job? Because if you're going to look for a job, then going and doing these kind of either way, the networking is important. But if you're doing the freelance, you're not going to have time for the networking.
Yeah.
And that really is an important way. Because it's really interesting. You said that there is a job that you have gone for, or you think you might get. All right.
Yeah.
I've got to be a bit careful because I don't want to put you in an awkward position yeah. here. But interestingly, where the jobs that have got the most potential to come off for you are jobs where there is a personal connection there, isn't there?
Yes.
And that really shows the power of networking.
Yeah.
So, you know, and to be honest, even the fact that you're sitting here now on this podcast and there are potential employers listening to this is a sign that networking has real benefit to you. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. That's very true. Please hire me.
and obviously, you know, web celeb Paul Boag.
Oh, so. Shut up, you git.
internet famous Paul Boag.
But it really, from my perspective, it really, I'm just ignoring you. It really does drive home the fact that you know, that networking, I think, is one of the biggest. It's more important than what skills you've got. I think it's more important than anything, unfortunately, for better or worse.
Can we not call it networking, though? Because networking sounds like doing business with businessmen and shaking hands. And actually, it's just making friends.
Yeah.
And making contact with people that, you know, down the line you might want to hook up with, but because you've got a
You like one another.
Yeah. Well, no, but I was thinking there might be a work connection. You know, you might do some work later on. But it's just nice if you end up going to kind of... Every time I go to a conference, which isn't that often these days, there's always somebody I've met before at a previous conference. So it's just great to catch up with them. So, yeah, networking is one of those horrid terms that sounds really salesy.
Yeah.
And it's not really that. It's just about putting yourself out there, saying, I've got something to say, and I'm all right, you know.
Because you can come across as a real dick, for want of a better word, if you actively network. I mean, I get tens of emails a week. I was going to say hundreds, but that would be a massive exaggeration. I get hundreds of emails a week just from people saying, hey, yes, I think it'd be really beneficial if we networked, you know, or not like, you know, a number of people who add me on LinkedIn and, you know, and it's just like, I get some people that do add me on LinkedIn and they just write something like, I'm a huge fan of what you do. And that's fine. Mm. You know, that is okay. But it's the people that, yeah, I think there might be some synergy in the way that we work together. You know, but there is, yes, you're right. Mm. It basically is what I'm saying.
But I'm agreeing with Paul that it's really important. Be bothered,
yeah.
But don't feel there's a massive pressure to make things happen, because then you'll just come across as a dick.
Yeah,
as
Paul was saying. It's about getting involved. Every industry has a community associated with it, right? There is the industry, which is the kind of one type of conference and publication. It's all very formal and businessy. And then often in an industry, there's also a community, right? Which is a group of people that just kind of hang out because they're sharing similar woes. And I'll give you a great example of this, right? In higher education, which is a big sector that me and Marcus work in, within the kind of webby technical part of higher education, there are two conferences. There's one called USISIS or something like that. I can't ever remember its exact name. And that's a kind of all the technical directors and is very formal and has a huge expo that goes with it where everybody's wearing suits and ties and selling to one another and being professional, right? And then there's another conference called IWMW, right? And IWMW is this kind of really informal, really friendly, everybody drinks a lot.
It's just about drinking, really.
Yeah, and just kind of hangs out together, right? But, you know, if I compare which of those two I've won the most work out of, there is no comparison. You know, IWMW is so much better because you're there just to make friends, really, to meet people that are struggling with similar stuff that you're struggling with and fighting with similar issues. And it's such a nicer environment. So kind of seeking out that kind of community feel within whatever sector. And I know digital marketing, there are shitloads of little meetup groups. You don't want any of the big official kind of conference-y things. What you're looking for is the little meetups and meet in a pub, right? Mm. You know, those are the kinds of events that you're looking for, and they're really, really good, and they're a great way of meeting people, and it's worth the train ticket up to London for that.
Has Chris told you that he's doing a plenary talk at IWMW? Yes. He's so scared already.
I know. I feel really sorry for him.
I said I'd help you with it, but I've had nothing to do with this project, Chris. Yeah. Nothing at all.
I have said to him I'll help him.
He's doing it with the client.
Yeah, so. I know. It'll be great. I know it'll be great.
Of course
he just worries, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, very final thing I want to touch on. One big aspect of this, especially with something like digital marketing, which is what you're saying you want to get into, is your own online brand. Right.
Yes.
It's how you present yourself online. Because if I was an employer, well, every employer now, whatever, especially digital marketing, but I think pretty much whatever job on the web, they're going to Google you. They're going to, you know, they're going to search on you. They're going to look at your Twitter feed, etc. How on top of that do you feel you are? In terms of blogging, in terms of social media. So if I type in your name, let's see what happens. Yeah, I don't know. Go on, what are you up to? Tell me while I do this.
Well, recently I've split. I did have a blog that was Kate Wright's stuff.
Right.
And that was everything. So mm-hmm. that was like stuff about writing as well as stuff about my life. And I've separated that. So I've now got a separate blog for the stuff about my life.
Yeah.
And then I haven't started it yet, but I've been doing my website so that there will be a you know, professional blog on there about, I thought I might blog about finding a job actually, because
yeah,
finding a job or, you know, work versus freelance, because mm-hmm. I think that is quite a hot topic, isn't it? And things like that. Twitter, I don't know. Yeah, it's... Twitter.
But the good thing about what the advantage, yeah, I mean, absolutely, you should get your own blog sorted. But it's interesting, Googling you, right? And I, of course, I refer to you as Katie, but you present yourself to the world now as Kate because you're all yes. grown up now.
Yes, you're a grown up.
You're a grown up. So, so you're on Twitter. You're Kate Writes Stuff.
Yes.
Now your Twitter account comes up on the first page of Google on the search of Katie or Kate Gillingham, right? So it's important from that regards. Yeah. And that's the big thing about Twitter, of course, is that unlike something like Facebook or some other channels, it is visible publicly. So I think it's still quite an important one personally, and something that if I was in your position, I would be spending more time on.
Yeah.
And it would be something that, you know, I would be sharing links of stuff that you've found, quotes, imagery, stuff that makes you look clever, basically.
That makes me look clever.
Yeah.
Well, just, I mean, highlight that bit.
It's all...
Paul's been doing that for years.
Yeah, I've made a career out of that. Yeah, and you've got, obviously, mix your humour in it, which you're really good at, and that should be a part of it as well. But I definitely think it should be something you're investing in.
Yeah.
And in terms of your blog, you've got to make a decision with your blog and stick with it.
Yeah.
Because the big thing with blogging is that if you keep changing your blog, which you have done a few times,
yeah,
every time you're kind of fragmenting any reputation you've started to build up on that, either with people and also with Google. So decide on your blog, stick with it, and then write something at least once a week would be my advice. You should be putting something out because I think it's going to be really important for you to start really ramping that up now.
Yeah.
And that's the other aspect. And that is whether you go down the freelance route or the job route. In either case, you're going to need to do that. I mean, even once you get your first job, keep doing it. Because there's something, one of the things that I've discovered when it comes to blogging is this is going to sound terrible, but I could almost churn out any crap now on my blog, simply because Marcus is biting his lip. I don't, by the way, I hasten to add, but I could. Simply because I've been doing it for so long, I have now built up a readership and Google knows I'm a reliable source. And so just continuing, you're building a lifetime thing with your blog. I think of blogging these days like getting a pension, right?
Yeah.
It's something that has a long-term benefit to you. So, you know, that once a week, just putting something out, even if it's something short, is really worthwhile.
Yeah.
And I would rate very highly on this, I think. Have we finished lecturing, Katie? Have you got any?
I think so. Just I remember this guy, Chris Murphy, that I saw at Smashing Conference last year. He was very... he's kind of mostly a writer, and he said a lot of very clever things. Check him out.
Ooh, that was good.
He was good.
All right.
Christopher Murphy. Yeah.
Meg, can you put a link in the show notes to that? She's got to find him now. At South by Southwest, correct?
No, Smashing.
Oh, Smashing.
Smashing Conf last year.
Right.
I think she can find him. Monographic.org
right.
is his website.
Coolio. Okay. Well, I hope that was... I know we kind of picked on you, which is kind of...
Hopefully, well, I was nice, he wasn't.
But it's much nicer to have a real person that's really going through this stuff, rather than just talking in a completely abstract sense. And I just, I think it's very brave of you to kind of come on and just put yourself out there and all the problems and mistakes and stuff that you're struggling with. But there will be a lot of people listening to this that will be in that similar kind of position, and knowing that they're not alone and knowing that they're not the only graduate that's, you know, has come out of university and has, you know, not got a job yet. is massively encouraging to them. And I would just say, if you are out there and you are in a position potentially to hire Katie, I am going to give her a massive big push, because I've known Katie for the longest time, and she's absolutely reliable. She's absolutely dedicated. She's great fun to work with, and she's damn good at what she does as well. If the TV Times hired her, is that really that good? I don't know. But no, I would highly recommend getting in touch with her. You can do so either by contacting her on Twitter at Kate Writes Stuff, or alternatively drop me an email and I will pass it on to her. So thanks, Katie, for being on the show. Right. Let's talk sponsors. Proposify is back supporting the show. They've supported us a few times over a couple of seasons now, and we're really grateful to have them. So Proposify is basically a proposal writing software, and it is, in my opinion, leaps and bounds better than sending a client a PDF document or a Word document, which is what Marcus does. So I'm going to explain to Marcus why he's wrong and I'm right.
Okay.
Ready for this? You don't care, do you? It's
like, la, la, la,
he's
la.
Got his arms folded. It's just really apparent that, right, he's stuck in his ways. He's not open to new things.
And there's nothing wrong with that,
he's
Paul.
Reached a certain point. Can't teach old dogs new tricks, etc., etc. But for the rest of you, then, this is why Proposify is so much better than using a Word document. For a start, once you've sent a Word document, right, or a PDF to your client, if you spot a typo, you can't fix it. Mm-hmm. But you can on Proposify, because you can go back in and edit the document at any time you need to, which is really, really useful up until the point that it's been signed off. Second thing is you get detailed analytics on when people opened your Proposify document and how long they looked at it for. Don't get that with a PDF or a Word document. What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Go on, you've undermined the sponsor slot. Go on, you know
no,
you
no,
want
no,
to.
I couldn't possibly.
Can't embed a video in a PDF or a Word document.
No.
Which is another thing you can do with Proposify. Also, Proposify integrates with a load of different apps. So if you want to pull stuff across from your CRM or wherever else, you can do that. People don't need to be able to, don't need to have the right software to be able to comment on what you've produced. They don't need to have a Word software or Adobe Acrobat or anything like that. They can comment directly on the Proposify document. It's mobile friendly, which means that they can view it on the go. It can be signed online as well, so you can sign it off there and then. Oh yeah, and it can be saved as a PDF too, if you so wish. So you can get Proposify for 3 months for free on any monthly plan, and that's after the 14-day free trial anyway. The 3 months for free on a monthly plan you can get if you use the coupon code BOAGWORLD when you sign up for any monthly plan. So you can get basically 14 days free trial, then 3 months for free before you have to start paying. And you could do all of that simply by going to Proposify. So that's proposify.biz and enter the code BOAGWORLD. Marcus.
Sounds fantastic. We should all use it. There you go.
Oh, Marcus. Stuck in your old ways, bless you. Do you have a joke for
I us? Do. This Jan Willem Oostendorp,
ooh,
I think might be from Holland, maybe, could or be. Somewhere like that,
sounds like
has given, has provided me with my new favourite joke.
Okay.
So this is, thank you very much, Jan Willem. What do you call a dog that does magic?
I don't know. What do you call a dog that does magic?
A labracadabrador.
That was the most enthusiastic laugh any guest has ever made, Katie.
I really like that one. Is that a really good one.
That's your kind of humour, is it?
Yeah, it is. No, okay. No, it's not. If you were thinking of hiring me...
This is someone that wants to be a comedy writer and she thinks that's funny.
That's my favourite joke.
There we go. So, thank you, Katie, for being on the show. Next week, we've got Mike Coos joining us.
I've spoken to Mike Fionn.
Yeah, so it's the last show of this season next week. And we're going to look at really grabbing opportunities in your career. I mean, as Katie said earlier, a lot of career breaks are luck more than anything else. And Mike had an amazing opportunity when he got featured in the very early days of Instagram. And that changed the whole direction of his career. So we're going to explore some of those things with him next week. But for now, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Buzzwords.com.